looking at a few different verses of Scripture, and we're going to be, if we've dealt with the power of God on a few occasions already, and we're going to continue that tonight as the Lord leads our heart. And probably not going to say anything new tonight, I'm about sure of that, but it's not new truth that we're in need of tonight, but it's rather the practice of old truth. The practice, if we would do what we already know we need to do, we'd probably be, no doubt, much further down the road spiritually, much higher, much deeper, more stable Christians than what we are. Hebrews chapter number 1, I want to read verse number 3, talking about Jesus. Well, let's just read verse 1 and begin in verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in the time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. You can be seated, and we'll look at these verses of Scripture and some others. If you'll notice there in verse number 3, the Bible makes this statement, the word of his power. Do you see that? The word of his power, who being of the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, talking about Jesus, is in the express image of God's person, which he was definitely God manifest in the flesh. We know the Bible says that and teaches that very plainly. And the Bible says he upholding all things by the word of his power. By the word of his power. So we've been preaching on the power of God, just as God leads our heart. And we've talked about different things, but tonight I want to focus, and this is a very broad subject. It can be looked at for weeks on end, no doubt about it. But I want to talk about just a little bit on the Word of God and the power of God, or the power of God and the Word of God. I believe all of us pretty much underestimate the power that this book has. I really do. I believe we all underestimate what the full potential of power that this Word of God has. And amen. And I believe I can make this statement that you cannot separate the power of God from the Word of God. Amen. And you think about it. In light of this statement in Hebrews 1 and 3, where it talks about the Word of His power, and in this verse it says it has upholding power. It has power that would uphold things, all things, by the word of his power. Amen. So the Bible, my friend, is powerful. It is powerful. Turn over a few pages, if you would, chapter 4, in verse number 12. Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick. That means it's alive. And powerful. The second description that God gives about his word here is that not only it is alive and life-producing, life-giving, life-causing, life-sustaining, but the word of God is also powerful. I like that. It's energizing, energetic. Amen. Thank God for the word being powerful. For the word of God is, not was, but is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So there again, we find the Bible is making a self-claim, what it is, and that is, it is powerful. Look, if you will, in chapter number 11 of Hebrews, chapter 11, in verse number 3, I'm sure Brother Silas probably has this as one of his verses, amen, of the creation, what is it? Creation. I start to say creation thought of the day, but it's creation, something a creator. Creation testifies of a creator. I'll help him think of his own website in a minute. Amen. But anyway, here in chapter 11, verse number 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed, how? By the word of God. You say, preacher, how did all of this come about? How did it all happen? Who made it? How was it created? Right here it says. Right here is a New Testament form of Genesis 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. That's right. That's John 1:1. Amen. That testifies too. Amen. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And you follow that through, and you find God stepping out on nothing and speaking it into existence. Let there be, and there was. Amen. The only thing God created with hands on was man. And he formed Adam from the dust of the ground, hands on. But he spoke and made worlds just simply by the word of his power. I believe the devil knows that if you and I could put a harness on the power of the Word of God and use it for His glory, that I believe the devil would tremble at that. Because he knows he can't handle the Word of God. Amen. He cannot handle the Word of God. And we have that clearly exhibited in Matthew 4 when Jesus was in the wilderness and the temptation in the wilderness, and how the devil come to him and tempted him three different times. And he didn't respond from a divine side. You've heard me preach on that. He responded from a human perspective. He could have just spoke the Word and turned the stone into bread. He could have spoke the Word and the devil would have been annihilated. He could have spoke the Word and anything could have happened, but instead he faced the devil with the same tool that you have, and he quoted three times, "As it is written," and he used the devil, or got the devil on the run with the Word of God. Amen. The sword of the Spirit is called in Ephesians chapter number 6. So we find here just three different passages, and we're going to look at some others in a moment, that it revealed to us the power of the Word of God. Do we want the Word of God to be powerful in our life? Now, I just thought of this. You can make these just simple little thoughts. The Word of God, in order to have power in our life, it must have, and for lack of a better word, must have a plug-in. I mean, you can have all kinds of power, even in this building, but until there's a plug-in, there's power in those receptacles. There's power in the wiring. But until you have a plug-in, you will never benefit from it. So the Word of God can be and is powerful, but it must have a plug-in in our life. Now listen to this. The Word of God, I've done said this, the Word of God and the power of God are inseparable. The Word of God and the Spirit of God are inseparable. But listen to this. The Spirit of God and the spirit of man are inseparable. The Word of God will not be powerful in your life apart from the Spirit of God. You'd have to agree with that. Anything and everything that God does for you, it must come through the Holy Spirit of God. Must have. That's His only connection to you in this world, is His Spirit. Isn't that right? Your human spirit is what hooks you up with this world. The Holy Spirit in you is what hooks you up with God's world. Amen? And so the God of heaven desires to funnel and channel His power in your life and through your life, but He must have a plug-in, which is your spirit. His spirit being at one with your spirit. Your spirit that was dead when you were lost. dead in trespass and sin, according to Ephesians 1, chapter 2 and verse 1. And your spirit is regenerated, made alive, quickened, resurrected at the point of salvation. And as a result of that, your spirit now is alive unto God. Your spirit is now a receptor to the Spirit of God. Amen? Your spirit bears witness with His Spirit. His Spirit bears witness with your spirit. So what God does, He must have a plug-in, your spirit. Of course, that tells us right off the bat, first thing is you got to be saved. The lost person will never have the power of God because they don't have the divine nature in them. They don't have a heart for God. Amen. And so the Bible teaches us here. Listen to this word. I want you to turn to John chapter 6. John chapter number 6. I'm trying to get through this pretty quickly. John chapter number 6. I want you to look over in the latter part of the chapter, verse number 63. I'm still talking about the Word of God must have a plug-in. The Word of God must have a spiritual inlet in your life. The Word of God is spirit. Do you understand that? Do we understand that? I mean, we have it tangible. We can hold on to it. But this is a spiritual book. This is a spiritually given book. It is a spiritually guarded book. This book right here is different than any other book on the shelf. Any other book in a library. This book came from a spiritual resource. Amen. And listen, having power of the Word of God, He must have a connection in our life, which is our spirit. Look at John 6:63. It is the Spirit, notice the lowercase s. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. See, God is not targeting the flesh in salvation. He's targeting the Spirit. Because the Spirit is, God is a Spirit. God is a Spirit. The Bible says that. So whatever He does, He must have a spiritual connection. He's got to have a spiritual plug-in, a spiritual inlet, if you will. The flesh profiteth nothing. How many people's trying to do the work of God with the energy of the flesh? How many people are trying to solve their problems through the energy of the flesh? I read a statement, I believe it was Watchman Nee. He said today that as a Christian, if you're trying to solve your own problems by yourself, that you're wretched. That's pretty stout. But he went on to say the reason that you're wretched is that you're trying to do it without God. You're trying to fix it without God. Amen? And most of us, that's the way we do it. We go to God as the last resort. Amen? God help us. But notice what it says in verse 63. The words that I speak, the words, we're talking about the Word of God and the power of God tonight. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. You see that? They are spirit. And then it says, and they are life. The Word of God targets the spirit. Of a man, of a woman, of a boy, and of a girl. Amen. Once it's alive, once you've been regenerated and quickened in salvation, then the Word of God has a connection to you to be able to release the power that's in it. Amen. So I say the Word of God must have a plug-in or a connection, a link, if you will, before it can be powerful. Just having the Bible as I hold in my hand tonight, is not powerful. It's got to have an inlet. It's got to have a connection. It's got to have a release. It's got to have a switch, if you will, something to turn it loose. Now, listen, if you say, preacher, I don't know about that. Well, look at all the preaching and look at all that's going on today around this book and look at what powerlessness we've got. This book will never, listen, this will help you. This book right here will never hook up with you fleshly. This book will never appeal to your flesh. It will never feed your flesh. It'll never bless your flesh. No, sir. Your flesh is against this book. Amen. When it lays on the shelf or wherever it lays and it does not get read that day, mark it down, the flesh was behind that. Amen. Not your schedule, not the complexity of life, but your sorry flesh. Amen. It's the reason. Because your flesh don't want to read it. You can be wide awake and start reading the Bible and you'll just about go in a coma in about three verses. How many can testify to that? I'm telling you, if you want to go to sleep, read the Word of God. It's not that it puts you to sleep. It's just that there is such a rejection of it by the flesh that the flesh says, I tell you what, I'm going to put your lights out just so you won't read the Bible. Now, you'll be alert reading text and emails and all of that, but when you read the Bible, your flesh goes into a zombie world. Amen. Amen. So the Word of God, the connection that God must have, the plug-in that God must have is your spirit. The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. That is, that what God says, it targets the spirit of a man. It's in a spiritual purpose. It's for a spiritual purpose. I want you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians. I could quote this and read it, but I want you to familiarize your eyeballs with it. Amen. I want you to see it again. And this is simple truth right here. Look at 2 Corinthians 2. Look at 2 Corinthians, or maybe is it 1 Corinthians 2? Yes, 1 Corinthians 2. I believe it's 1 Corinthians 2. And make sure I've got my scripture right. 1 Corinthians 2. Look at chapter 2, verse number 14. The Bible, well, let's go up in verse number 9. Let's read verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. And we a lot of times we'll quote that verse and we'll look out yonder into the heavenlies and out there into the eternity future and say, wow, praise God, I can't wait. There's going to be things that eye hath not seen, either ear heard, neither has it entered the heart of the man, things God hath in store for them that love him. And that is true, but the true context of this verse is not out yonder, it's right now. Look at the next verse. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man. Do you see that? The only way, listen, the spirit of a man, when it's in unregenerated form, can only know the earthly, can only relate to the earthly. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Do you see that? Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Remember, the Word of God must have a spiritual connection if it's going to be powerful. It's got to have a spiritual inlet, a spiritual plug-in. Look at verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. How much plainer can you get? What am I saying? The Word of God and its power cannot and will not be released in our life or through our life as long as we're carnal and fleshly, being led by the flesh, leaning on the flesh, because the natural man, that human nature, that Adamic nature, cannot be a recipient of the spiritual things of God. Why? It's not an inlet. It's not a connector. It's not a receptor. Amen? You got to be saved before you can get in on the power of the Word. Well, you say, well, what's the excuse for all the people that are saved? Why are we not powerful people?
with God.
I'm afraid we're living after the flesh a lot more than we realize. Amen. That's right, isn't it? Well, glory to God, amen. So we got to have a plug-in. Number two, the Word of God, for it can be powerful, the Word of God must have preeminence. The Word of God cannot just be a book on the shelf that you pick up and take to church if you think about it. The Word of God must hold a position of prominence and preeminence in your life. Listen, isn't this simple preaching? Isn't this elementary preaching? How important is the Word of God to you? How valuable is the Word of God to you? I believe you can take a real saved person and preach the Word of God to them on any subject and they'll accept it. Amen? You preach on tithing and a person get mad, guess what? They may be saved, but they're certainly not hooked up with this book with a spiritual, with their spirit. Amen. Preach on separation and they get mad and pitch a hissy and all of that. That's not coming from a saved, surrendered, spiritual person. That's people that's trying to listen to the Word of God with fleshly ears. And they want to hear what they want to hear. Amen. That's why the preaching that's mentioned in 2 Timothy 4 is going to be so prominent in these last days. They will not endure sound doctrine, but what shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Amen. That's what people's interested in today, prophesying to us smooth things. You know, don't deal with nothing negative. Don't give us any of that roughage. Yeah, that's right. But the Word of God, in order for it to have power in your life, it's not only got to have a plug-in in your life. Your spirit has got to be regenerated. Your spirit has got to be quickened and made alive. And thank God, I'm telling you, that happened to me 32 years ago, January 20th. It happened to me. I didn't have no interest in the Word of God or nothing else. I'd sit on the back row and write notes. That was long before the phones and technology had advanced. We had to do pencil and paper. And we'd sit back there and write notes and carry on while the service was going on. Are you listening? And be so sorry at times. I mean, we'd make fun of things going on in the service. We'd sit back there and make fun of the way people was doing and you know, I thought I was it because they was laughing at me on the back row. What foolishness. What foolishness, amen. But when I got saved, friend, God opened up a spiritual plug-in in my life. And the Word of God no longer was just a book that Mom and Daddy had read and carried and Grandma and them read and carried and listened. No, it became personal with me. It began to feed me. It began to help me. It began to lead me. Thank God you're to familiarize yourself with the Word of God. And very few people are doing that. Young people today, listen, young people today, if you were to ask them, they could tell you all kinds of stats concerning, you know, pro teams and college teams, football, baseball, basketball, and all other kinds of things. Probably could tell you different things about different subjects. But then if you were to ask them things about the Bible, they probably wouldn't have a clue. Amen. If you ask to turn in your Bible to the book of Habakkuk, most of them have to look in the contents, you know, or whatever, the index, to find it. Amen. Familiarize yourself. Now, if you just got saved, you haven't been saved long. I wasn't putting you down. That's normal. You're just starting. You're just learning. But if you've been saved for years, you ought to be so familiar with this book, my friend, that you ought to know where the books of the Bible is, at least. Surely to goodness. That's right, isn't it? The Bible said in Psalms 138 in verse 2, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. Listen to what God said about his word. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. That's how what God thinks about his word. God put it above his name, magnified it above it, all his name. How important is it to you? Don't raise your hand, and I know you wouldn't if you could or should, but don't raise your hand just in case you might. But I wonder how many people in this room has read your Bible any this week. You probably several of you have, but I would say there's people in here that haven't read the Word of God. I mean, sat down with the Bible in your hand and read the Word of God. And you probably can't even remember when. And we wonder where the power of God's at. Amen. The Word of God and the power of God is inseparable. The preaching of the Word of God must have a receptor. Amen. Must have a connection. Anyway. For the Word of God to be powerful, it's got to have a plug-in. It's got to have preeminence and prominence in our life. Listen to these two things here that shows us a little bit about the prominence of the Bible. This first one comes from R.G. Lee, great preacher of the past years gone by. The Bible is a book beyond all books, as a river is above and beyond the brook. The Bible is above and beyond all books, as the sun is above and beyond a candle in brightness. The Bible is a book beyond all books, as the wings of eagles is above and beyond the wings of a sparrow. It is it's supernatural in origin, eternal in duration, inexpressible in value, immeasurable in influence, infinite in scope, divine in authorship, human in penmanship, regenerative in power, infallible in authority, universal in interest, personal in application, and inspired in totality. This is a book that has walked more paths, traveled more highways, knocked at more doors, spoken to more people in their mother tongue than in any other book this world has ever known or will know. The Word of God and its prominence and preeminence. The Bible, the Word of God, is unlike any other book you have in your home or in your in the library. The Library of Congress lays claim to being the biggest library in the world, with more than 130 million items of on approximately 530 miles of bookshelves. The collections include more than 29 million books and other printed materials, 2.7 million recordings, 12 million photographs, 4.8 million maps, 58 million manuscripts. Yet among all these volumes, the only one that can lay claim to being alive and powerful are the copies of the Word of God. Amen. There's no other category that can compare with the Word of God. Amen? Jesus Christ is the living Word who quoted the written Word and seen power brought forth and things transpire. Amen? Praise God. Amen. I'm glad I've got a Bible. But it all boils down to this. The Word of God, before it can be powerful, must have a plug-in. The Word of God, before it can be powerful, must have preeminence. It must have some value. It must have some importance in your life. Thirdly, it must have practice. The Word of God will never be powerful without practice. Trust and obey. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Obeying the Word of God. How many in here is important to you what the Bible says? Amen? The Word of God must be practiced before there can be power. Amen? The Word of God will never have no power in your life apart from obedience to it. That's a simple statement, isn't it? When the Word of God is applied, not just being a hearer of the Word, but a doer of the Word also. How many services do you come and go and you hear the Word of God preached, or you sit in a Sunday school class and you hear it taught and you leave part and you pick up some and you take some and you leave some? Amen? Who gives us the authority to do that? Who gives us the authority to do that? The Word of God. Sift it. Take some, leave some. Take some, throw some on back to somebody else. God does not give us that authority to do that. Amen. If it's the Word of God, we are to apply it. We're to adapt those things in our life. We're to make it actual and action in our life. D.L. Moody said, I know the Bible is inspired because it inspires me. That's good, ain't it? Amen. Many believers pay little attention to the Bible and spend very little time with it. I read this week on one survey said that the average of less than 30% of religious leaders read their Bible daily. That's not talking about church members. That's talking about religious leaders read their Bible daily. Listen to this. I'm talking about practice. The Word of God being practiced. Sin will keep you from the Word, and the Word will keep you from sin. Did you know Nathan, the prophet, identified to David when he said to him, Thou art the man? Do you realize that Nathan identified to David why that he failed? Listen, 2 Samuel 7, of course, Nathan says, Thou art the man, you know. Verse number 9, here's what he went on to say in verse 9. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandments of the Lord to do this evil in thy sight, in his sight? Nathan said, David, you know why you did this? It was because you despised the commandments of the Lord. And that word despise means you made light of it. Can I translate in our day? You don't read it. You don't listen to it. It's not, amen. You've despised, you've made light of it. You disesteemed. The Word of God lost value with you. At one time, the Word of God meant something. The Word of God was powerful and prominent and preeminent in your life, had a plug in your life. But as whatever happened, we don't know. That if he got up into that kingship category and he got prideful and boastful and was surrounded with plenty, and all of a sudden now he don't need the Word of God. I don't know. But Nathan the prophet identified, David, this is the reason you fail. This is the reason that you fail was because you despised the commandments of the Lord to do evil in his sight. Amen. How he treated the Word of God showed up in how he treated others. Amen. David said, Thy word have I hid my heart that I might not sin against God. Amen. I want you to turn to one more passage of Scripture. Look at Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Matthew's Gospel, verse 22. Matthew chapter number 22. We're just going to break in and read a verse that Jesus was in his conversation had been dealing with in this chapter with the Herodians and the Sadducees and the Pharisees. But look in verse 29. And I want you to, this is just a powerful little statement. This is actually the verse that caught my attention initially about our subject tonight. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. Do you see that? Jesus said, the reason you have erred, and that word err means to go astray, to wander, cause to roam from safety, truth, and virtue. Cause to be out of the way. He said, the reason that you've went astray. And church, do I have to bring it to our remembrance tonight and our reminder tonight that there's many in our ranks that are falling daily. That there are people that you know and I know that once was on the pews faithfully, on fire, serving God, had a spiritual purpose, spiritual focus, really give themselves to the will and work of God. My friend, that have erred, they're out of the way. They've fallen by the wayside. And I guarantee it, folks, you can trace every one of them, and find where they started getting away from the Word of God.
God, listen, the devil knows that if he can get you out of the book, he can get you out of church. If he can get you out of the book, he can get you off your knees in prayer. Amen. He knows if he can get you out of the book, he can get the book out of you, and he can win great victories in your life. Amen. Jesus said you've erred. Why? How? Not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. He puts both of them together. He said you've not known the scriptures nor the power of God. And that word know there, not knowing, you've erred not knowing. Are you listening? That doesn't just identify information. That identifies experience. You have not known the scriptures experientially. You have not known the power of God experientially. When's the last time, and of course you just have to really look at it your own self, when's the last time you had an encounter and an experience with the power of God? Personally. Did you know Friday night was powerful? Of course Wednesday night was powerful. Sunday was powerful. This past Sunday was powerful. But there was people sitting in this service Friday night, never felt nothing. Guarantee it. I've seen services get so far out into the glory that, you know, that you're just wondering, my goodness, are we ever going to put our foot back on the ground? And look around, there'll be people fooling around and fumbling around through their pocketbook and fooling around with kids and fingernails and hair and everything else. When's the last time these people, Jesus said, you've erred, you went out of way, you went astray, you've wandered off course, you went away from virtue. You went away from truth and safety and virtue because of this, not knowing the scriptures, which identifies ignorance. Ignorance. How many times did Paul say, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren? I heard a preacher on radio make a kind of an ignorant statement the other day. And I've heard mountain preachers say it. But it's not right. He said on the radio, he said, I'll tell you right now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to preach nothing but Jesus. And I understand what he's saying. But that's not all that Bible says for us to preach. Brother, that Bible has got the church epistles in it. And it's got doctrine in it. And it's got practical truth in it on how to live. That Bible says, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Amen. The Word of God teaches us how to walk. Yes, we're to preach Jesus to those that are not saved. And we're to preach Jesus to us that are saved. But we're to preach everything that goes with it. The whole counsel of God is what we're to preach. Amen. We're to preach all of it. Some churches you can get saved in, but you can't grow in. And then there's some you might could grow in, but it's hard to get saved in. I want our church to be both. I want to be people get saved and then grow here. Amen. That's right. All right. He said you've erred, not knowing the scripture. The word knowing means to perceive or to experience. And he mentions two things. He mentions the scriptures and the power of God. The scripture deals with our exposure to the information. The power of God deals with our experience of the demonstration. The scriptures deals with our ignorance. And the power of God deals with our limitations or what we are unable to do. The power of God is able to do. Amen. The scriptures, shows our value of the Word of God. The power of God shows our victories. Our victories. Our victories. Amen. Well, they're inseparable, the scriptures and the power of God. They're inseparable. They go together. They're in the order. They're in the proper order. The Word of God is prior and precedes the power of God. If you want the power of God, you've got to go through the Word of God. If nothing else, may God stir our heart afresh and anew tonight to get back in the book. We're living in a day when things are so hectic and busy. I mean, even preoccupied with good things. And if you're not careful, you'll let this slip. You'll let the Word of God slide out of your life. And when it goes, the power of God goes with it. Isn't that right? God help us. Amen. Listen, you can know the Scriptures and still not have power. Illustrated with the scribes and the chief priest, they knew the Scriptures, but they did not know the power, because they never got past the information. Business picks up in your life when you start experiencing the Word of God. Amen. Let me give you this and I'm going to be done. What's the difference was the name of this. The writer is unknown. It's a comparison of two men. One of them you'll know or have heard of. One man by the name of Max Jukes. He lived in New York City. He did not believe the Bible. He thought church was full of hypocrites. He never attended, never allowed his children to go to church. Listen to this. He had 1,026 descendants. 300 of those, listen, he didn't go to church, didn't believe God, didn't believe the Bible, or nothing. And out of that 1,026 descendants, 300 of them were sent to prison for an average of 13 years each. 190 of his descendants were public prostitutes. 680 of his descendants were alcoholics. Many lived on the welfare system and have not contributed to society. Showing by that, a man give himself to not living the Christian life, not having nothing to do with the Bible and the Word of God, and how many of his descendants went down the tube, went down the drain, and went to the dogs. But on the other hand, everybody has heard of Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards lived also in New York at the same time that Max Jukes lived in New York. He read his Bible daily, loved church. He and his family were in church every Sunday. He had 929 descendants. 430 of those were ministers of the gospel. 86 were college and university presidents. 75 authored books. 5 served in the U.S. Congress. 2 served as senators. 1 as vice president of the United States. None were ever on welfare. Not one cost the state a penny. They were serious contributors to their church and the nation. The difference was the Bible and church. Amen. Devil might be talking to some of you about getting slack and quitting and about going to church and reading your Bible and all of that. Listen, if you quit on those two prime areas and pray and will go with it too, you won't quit church and keep praying. Amen. I'm just sorry to tell you. You won't quit reading the Bible and keep praying. When one goes, it's going to pull several things out of your life with it. And when it goes, the power of God goes. And when the power of God goes, there'll be no resistance to the flesh. And then it's whatever the flesh wants, you'll yield to. And you'll turn around in a very short period of time and you'll think, unto God, how in the world did I get like this? Amen? God help us to get back to the book. Get back to the power of the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand our feet.